I heard a little joke from the TV preacher this morning, so if you heard it, I'm just going to condense it down a little bit. You may like it. Cab driver and a preacher go to heaven at the same time. Now, which one of you most surprised by made it to heaven? At least you're trying to be nice to me, aren't you? Cab driver actually is the first one to get to the pearly gates. Man, St. Peter just brags about him, gives him all these fancy clothes and everything, gives him his big mansion, and says, "Go, you've done well." The little preacher gets up there and gives him an old rotten robe and said, "You got a little place over in the corner." The preacher said, "No, just a minute. What's the deal? Lousy old cab driver getting the biggest mansion almost up here, and I've been preaching the gospel for 40 years and I get just a little something over here in the corner?" He said, "Yeah, but you don't understand." He said, "When you preached, people went to sleep. When they rode with this cab driver, they were praying. He brought a lot of people to heaven." So, believe me, Monica and I have been in a cab twice. Once in New York City, once in Chicago. Believe me, if you're not saved, you will be when you get out of them cabs. Number one, they don't speak English. Number two, they don't believe in red lights. And number three, they just soon run over you and just look at you. It don't make any difference. It's crazy, crazy. But I thought that was cute. I thought you'd get a little fun out of that. All right. Today, we're going to look at a subject that some people think that it's just about salvation. At the time of salvation. But that couldn't be anything farther from the truth. The subject is, Larry's turning on the screen. Says, "Will you repent?" Now you would think that this would be like what an evangelist would say, especially at an invitation time, during revival time. "Will you be saved today? Will you repent? Will you come to Jesus today?" Sounds like an invitation, doesn't it? When you look at it on that parameter. And it is an invitation. Because in order for you to come to Jesus, listen to me, internet world, the only way to come to Jesus is to repent of your sins. Right? That's right. But that's not the all-inclusive beginning, middle, and end. It's just the beginning. Because once I'm saved doesn't mean all of a sudden now I'm perfect. Anybody here perfect? No. Hopefully everybody within the sound of my voice is saved. But if not, we're going to give you an opportunity in a little bit to be saved. But just because we accept Jesus Christ, we are now saved. We are a sinner saved by grace. Believe it or not, I still sin. I sin every day. I know that's hard for some of you to believe. But if you get out in an automobile today, you're going to sin. If you work a public job today, you're going to sin. If you're married, you're going to sin. And if you've got kids, holy cow, you're going to ask for forgiveness 4 or 5 times a day. Now, that's cute, but really that's the truth. Right? So repentance is not just a one-time deal at salvation. Repentance is a daily effort on my part. I need to repent every day of my life. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right. We got a wonderful gospel writer here. If you you got your book and you want to turn to the page, it's just simply called Repentance, page 185. Let's look and see what our writer has to say. Question, right off, number one question. Who among us has sinned? Everybody. There is not a perfect person here, not a perfect person watching on the internet, not a perfect person on this planet anywhere. There's only been one perfect individual, and his name is what?
Jesus.
Say it with me.
Jesus.
That's right. But God calls upon us to turn away from sin by following his commandments. That's a nice way of saying following his rules. How do you know what the Ten Commandments are? How do you know how to live? It's called a Bible. You need to pick it up. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to look at it daily. That is your guideline on how to live, how to act, where to go, how to walk, what to say. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. When we do ask for God's forgiveness and turn our hearts to him, he will forgive us. Absolutely and completely. Understand that? I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your past, where you've been, what you said. If you accept Jesus Christ by faith, simply means you've heard that Jesus died on the cross for you. If you believe that, you have to believe that by faith. You went there. You didn't see it. Oh, maybe you've seen a movie of it. Maybe you read it in God's Word, but you have to believe it by faith. And say, even though I wasn't there, I know it happened. I know he died for me. And if I'd been the only person alive, he would have died for me. That's what that means, to accept that by faith. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his name. Now, the next paragraph. We cannot sin against God without consequence. We cannot live outside of his will without injury. We cannot distance ourselves from God without hardening our hearts. We cannot yield to the ever-tempting distractions of our world and at the same time enjoy God's peace. I call that the cannot chapter. There's a lot of cannots in there. Understand, if you're going to accept Jesus Christ, you need to be real sincere at it. There's a lot of people that have walked aisles, hugged the preacher, talked to the preacher, got into baptism with the preacher, said all the right things that are in hell right now. You know why? Because that doesn't mount to a lump of coals if your heart's not changed. That's wonderful. It makes me feel good when you walk this aisle. It makes me feel good when we put people in the water. All that makes me feel good. But folks, feeling good ain't what this is about. This is about people who truly change their life. You, every one of you, have a past. Every one of you have done things that's not been pleasing to God. Every one of you know that. But now, I said this in our men's Sunday school class, we're talking about this subject of pride in Sunday school. And we have to understand, pride is a great, great thing that can cause you all kinds of grief. Believe me, it's not about you, it's about what's inside of you. I understand this one thing, is that when we think that it's all about me, you've missed it. Because it's not all about you. It's all about what's inside of me. Now, I can be inside of me. Or Jesus can be inside of me. You understand that? As I say all the time, my Uncle Jimmy, but some of you remember and know and some of you don't, he always had a saying. that it took me for a while to really figure out what he was saying, but after many years of hearing it, he finally explained it to me. He called it the smell me syndrome. He said, people walk around with the nose up in the air and smell me. Look at me. Can't get your arm back there far enough, pat yourself on the back. See, I'm successful. It's all about me. I drive the right car. I live in the right house. I live in the right neighborhood. I got the checking account. I got all the stuff. I educated myself. I did all of that. I got one sharp cookie. But when you're dead, you're going to be one sharp cookie going to hell. There's a lot of sharp cookies in hell. It's not about you, what you've done, how successful you are. Now, I'm not downgrading success. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of good Christian people that are successful. And they're successful because they put God first. And they're successful because the big check that they get, the first check that they write to the church. They're successful because they know what it means to be successful in the world. But it doesn't mean that every Christian person is going to be successful. But it's not about success. It's about your individual walk with Jesus Christ. And this thing of repentance, and the reason it's a daily thing, is because I need to walk with Jesus daily. Now, what else is going to happen daily is called temptation. And it's coming to you every day. It's coming to you in ways you can't imagine how it's coming to you. You're going to be tempted to get mad. You're going to be tempted to say things. You're going to be tempted to go places. You're going to be tempted with your attitude, with your appearance, how you act, what you do, every day. Every day, your button's going to be pushed. Now, I did a series here a few years back called Pushing the Button. Y'all remember that, don't you? I had a lot of comments about this. Before we're saved, all of us has a button about this big. Which means, I mean anybody can touch this button. You look at me wrong, buddy, it's on. Okay? But when I accept Jesus Christ, he goes to work on that button. And he begins to shrink the button. To where now it doesn't take as much to get me all bent out of shape. It takes a lot more to tempt me than what it used to. The more I read God's word, the more I come to his house, the more that I pray, the smaller this button gets. Now, the smaller this button gets means Satan's got to work harder. He ain't got as much here to work with. I'm sort of straightening my act up. I'm straightening my life up. I'm not going to the places I used to go to. I'm not saying the things I used to say. Understand? So the button gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And then once you're in church for a while and you're serving God, it's almost not there. Now, some people shrink that button. And then the next thing you know, they begin to think, well, it's all about me again. Next thing you know, that button can go from this size again to this size again in a matter of hours. Because when I take my eyes off of Jesus Christ, I'm a wide open target for Satan. He does everything he can, I don't care how small the button or how big the button, to tempt you every day. From the moment you get up to the moment you go to sleep, and even in your dreams. I heard a sermon the other day, and I thought to myself, and this was good. And this was from an old guy. I mean, he was like 50 now. I mean, this guy was old. Well, I'm 59, so that's what I'm trying to make a point here, okay? Listen, we ain't going here, just let me finish. I've never said it. I know how old most of you are. And I ain't telling nobody how old you are. Donna, I know how old you are, but I ain't gonna tell you. I know. I understand this deal. I don't care how old you are. It don't matter to me. But here is the deal. He said, this young preacher said, that no matter what you are, who you are, or what you've done, Satan will not stop tempting you until you take your last breath. I don't care if you're a preacher, if you're a deacon, I don't care if you're in church every time the door is open. He's not going to stop. So if I know that, here's how I repent every day. Before I get up and hit the ground, I say, Lord, I know I'm going to mess up today. I just got a feeling. You get that kind of feeling when you first wake up. You know, maybe I didn't sleep the best or whatever, but I can tell my attitude's already kicking up. Can you imagine such? I mean, I wake up myself and I say, I'm going to act like Larry did. And I need to repent. I'm just going to have an attitude. But seriously, when I first get up, I say, Lord, help me with my attitude today. I need help. I'm already repenting and ain't even got out of bed because I see it coming. And I know that if I feel it, I know Satan knows it. Because Satan's smarter than I am. I said, Lord, whatever he puts in my path today, help me know right from wrong. Help my mouth. Help my feet. Where I go, what I do. And Lord, no matter what, I understand that I know that you love me and that you will forgive me. Thank you for your amazing grace. That's daily before my feet even hit the ground. Okay? Because if I don't, Satan is going to tear me to pieces. He's going to put somebody in my path. I'm going to get the wrong phone call. I'm going to see the wrong email. Somebody is going to get in my path. It's going to ruin my day. You understand that? Sometimes I get in my own way. It don't even have to be somebody else. I get in my own path sometimes. You ever done that? Everybody around me can be angels, and I still can mess it up. Because for whatever reason, I'm in one of them moods. One of these days, I'm going to preach a series on moods. Because this congregation needs it. You know, listen, moods are okay, especially if it's a good, but moods swing. You understand that, don't you? They swing. It's just all according to where you're at and what you're doing. See, Jesus wants to make sure that our mood is in place because you know why? It's because from the moment that my feet hit the ground, the reason I need grace, the reason I need repentance is because people are watching me every step I take. Every word I say, people are watching me. They know I'm a minister. They know I'm a preacher. They know all about me. And they're just watching and waiting for me to mess up. Now, I'm just telling you. Now, I don't think this crew does. Well, Carl does. But, you know, the rest of this crew don't. But you know, I'm telling you, that's the way the world is. Because they want you to mess up. Because then that justifies their own actions. You say, well, if Christian people act like that, why do I want to be a Christian? Have you ever heard that? You know, if Christian people say those kind of words, why can't I say those kind of words? If Christian people drink, why can't I drink? If Christian people do this, why can't I do this? They know better than I am. Believe me, you hear that all the time. So we really do. Now, some will say that's not fair. Well, maybe it's not fair, but it's the truth. What happened to Jesus wasn't fair either. It wasn't fair for him to go on a cross like that. But here's the deal. He did it because he loved you and I. He did it because he cared about you. You understand that? Give the Lord a hand of applause in the Let's finish this up. Larry's put the scripture up here. We'll look at this in just a minute. God's word teaches that when we invite Christ to rule over our lives, we become new people. You believe that? Is there an aspect of your life that is preventing you from becoming a new person in Christ? Is there something wrong? Is there sin in your life? Are you engaged in an activity that is distancing? Well, that's a big word. You from God? If so, ask for forgiveness. And stop what you're doing. Jesus will love you, forgive you, and give you amazing grace. Give the Lord a hand of applause. fabulous. You've heard this. Some people have it memorized. But this is marvelous. I want you to look at this in God's Word. If maybe is the biggest word in this. Because this means there's conditions. If my people who are called by my name. Now let me tell you something. Jesus knows every one of you. He knows your name. He knew you before you was in the womb. But that doesn't mean that everyone's saved. That's not what this means. Jesus knows all of us. But there's still a condition to come home. And that is believing that he knows it. Just because he knows it doesn't mean you know it. You have to know it in your heart by believing in Jesus. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Understand, it's not about me. It's about what's in me. That's Jesus Christ. And pray. You humble, you say, I need you, Jesus. You pray and invite Jesus into your life. And seek my face. Once you get up off your knees and you're through praying, then it's time for action. Seek is an action word, which means you go about that time seeking Jesus in your life for the rest of your life. You do that by three things. What? Prayer. Studying God's Word. Coming to God's house. And turn from their wicked ways. This turn is every day. Every day. It's like some of you, if you work, you go the same way to work every day, don't you? I mean, most of you could get there blindfolded, couldn't you? Well, just because I made that turn today doesn't mean that I'm not going to make that turn tomorrow if I'm going the same way. That goes ahead. If you go the same way, you're going to make that same right turn every day, aren't you? You make a left turn, what happens? You ain't going to get there. Huh? Make sense? Right. So if I know I've got to turn right every day, why do I turn left? Why would I turn left? People can't answer that a lot of times because they don't know why they do what they do. I have people tell me that all the time. I don't know. Well, then turn right the next time. Then turn left. Right's God's way. Left Satan's way. Now Carl hates that when I do this because I'm always pointing to Satan.
That's so negative.
I don't know why I do that, but anyway. Alright, one way is Jesus. The other way is Satan. Alright? I don't want to hear about this all week, Carl. Alright. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Because here's the deal. If I make the same turn, I'm going to end up at work. If I make a wrong turn, I'm not going to make it. That's the same way of salvation. If I make the right turn, make the right decision, I'm going to be in heaven. If I make the wrong decision, the wrong turn, I'm going to another place. Now that's common sense, but isn't that the truth? You know, you can't make a point. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin. And once I'm forgiven, I want you to look at this real close and closing. Forgiveness, you see this? Comes before healing. Don't rush over this. People want things to go right in their life, and they want healing. Folks, if you don't make the right decision, there is no healing. Without forgiveness, there is no healing. Understand there's a reason why this is put up here the way this is put up here. Okay? He's going to forgive, and then once he forgives, the healing begins. Healing again doesn't mean your life's going to be perfect, but it means from this point on, no matter what. I mean, all that I've gone through,
all that you've gone through in this world, you can't rob us of our salvation. I don't care what you do. It won't make any difference. I'm not going to leave this world until God's ready. And when God's ready, nobody's going to be able to do it. But I'm going to be healed no matter what. And if it's not today, that's all right. I'll deal with it. Because we pray for healing all the time. And people ask me all the time, say, how come God doesn't heal? He will. If you stay faithful. There's going to come a day I ain't going to have no kidney issues, no heart issues, no foot issues, no issues. Is that right? He's going to heal me. Now, whatever I see in this lifetime, I may be fortunate enough, I may get healed in this lifetime, but I may not. But no matter what, you can put it in the bank. I will be healed one day by the love and the grace of God. It will bring up. Let us stand. Is every head bowed and every eye? Father, the most praising and wonderful and amazing name of Jesus. Father, may we all understand repenting is a daily issue. We need to repent every day. For Father, Satan coming at us every day with something. Give us strength. May we understand that that strength comes from you. Father, if there be one here today that's lost. Maybe they've been in church for a while, but that doesn't mean church doesn't save anybody. But have they truly accepted you as Lord and Savior? It is my prayer, Father, that that person would just come down and say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. Let me explain it to you. Let me pray with you. Let me welcome you to the kingdom. If you're watching by internet today, find you a good church home. But you don't have to be in church to be saved. All you have to do is bow your head and invite Jesus to come into your life. Apologize for your sin. Ask for strength to live a Christian life. And then find you a good church home. Maybe you need a quiet time at this altar. We invite you to come. Whatever. Do not leave this place without knowing Jesus. And don't leave this place unless you have repented of your sin. And understand Jesus loves you. Father, bless these moments. We thank you for them. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus? Thank you.